everyone. Welcome back to another episode of the Six Figure Certified podcast. I'm your host, Liv Chapman, and I have a very special guest today, another guest. I know you guys were all sick of my solo episodes, so we are just stockpiling on with guests. If you have been following, so you might be listening to this on Apple Podcasts or whatever, or Spotify, but if you're watching this on YouTube, and you found us on YouTube, chances are you have seen our beautiful guest, Haley Surya, on our home screen for literally 6 years, 7 years.
Yeah, just
and
about.
She's back. So I'm thrilled to have her. Haley's an IGC OG. She has been on an insanely crazy journey the last like 4 to 5 years. I mean, I feel like we all have. But welcome back. Tell us a little bit. I know you have a new company or a relatively newer company. There's so much to get into, but I'll let you introduce yourself.
Absolutely. So as the beautiful Olivia Chapman said, my name is Haley Surya. I am the founder of That Psychic Psychologist. That is a brand that evolved out of my 3-year sabbatical. We can definitely talk more about that. Which is kind of fed up with life. And I was like, I'm unfulfilled and I want to go deeper. And so that came out of my 3-year sabbatical. I am a PCC certified coach. I am on my way to MCC, which is very exciting. And I am just very, very excited to be here. I don't know where to start because I feel like there is so much that has happened in the past couple of years. But just a little bit about That Psychic Psychologist. It really is to go deeper than what we have been taught to, where we have been taught to go. And it is a fusion of coaching and psychology, subconscious mind reprogramming, energy healing, and my gifts that I uncovered during the pandemic, which were the gifts of shamanic healing. And so it's a dope method that I'm like, it's just amazing, honestly. So yeah, that's a bit about
it. It's funny that you mentioned this because I feel like people either come into coaching because they have a lot of interesting skills and they don't know how to package them, or they just know they want to do something different. So they come through coaching and then all of a sudden it unlocks this massive treasure chest of gifts and abilities and interests that like really could only be unlocked if you kind of freed yourself from the systems that keep us stuck. I feel like you're
absolutely
an embodiment of that.
Yeah, I fully believe that as coaches, we are our first client. And so all of the things that I learned in coach training and just from coaching other women, other people, it has helped me to self-coach. And in self-coaching, I've uncovered so many different things that I didn't know before. I used to beat myself up for being multifaceted and multi-passionate. And literally at my big age of 32, I just turned 33 a few days ago. I found out that I have ADHD, and it unlocked so much in my mind where I'm just like, this makes so much freaking sense. And I had began to have like an inkling about tapping more into the concept of neurodivergence, because I just never really fit into institutional settings and, you know, schools and churches. I never felt at home there. It always felt like very just brash for my system and for my mind, and my questions wouldn't get answered. And I'm just like, like this. And so it made me want to dive into neurodivergence and understand it better and be able to learn how to build a company around the way that my mind works. Yeah. Because I feel like so many of us start and stop because we're working against ourselves as opposed to working with what we have. And so
that was such a huge part of my self-discovery. And I want to just go back 2 steps and say, like, first of all, Haley hit me up because she's like, hey, I want to get my MCC. And I'm like, okay, sorry, we're not just going to jump into formalities. Like, we have to catch up. Where have you been? Obviously, we've stayed connected online, but I feel like you and I, so Haley has 4 beautiful children. Okay. Now you're like a single parenting co-parent situation. Similar.
Yes. Yeah. Yes.
You came to one of our events with your baby because you were still breastfeeding. And I remember like you were like just this archetype, this like magical example of what it could be like to have a business back then. And so when you kind of took some time off, and I will also say like shout out to your business for like keeping you afloat even while you went on this like sabbatical, I was like, we had always kind of stayed in the periphery of each other, I feel like. And so The real conversation that we had happened over the phone a couple weeks ago, where we were like,
yeah,
what have you been doing for the last
what three? Has been happening? Tell me everything.
Our similarities are terrifying, but also amazing to connect on that level. And just to see the whole evolution and just this, like, I have to tell you, and I don't really remember, I think I told you, I had called you to let you know that you got that level one original scholarship. Okay. This was in 2019, right?
Yes. 2019.
No, it was 2018.
2018. Yeah. Cause I was about to say, I was a PCC coach in 2019.
And the very next day was the day that I found out that my kid's dad had been, like, I say living a double life, but it was like dozens of lives. And I always remember, cause I was in this parking lot of a place I used to co-work at when I called you, because I wanted to, like, call you because I was so impressed with your application and just everything. And I was like, we have so much in common. And then just to kind of be able to catch up recently and see, like, how much our lives have gone on. Like, I would say, like, we're like this next to each other, like going
absolutely
up, but all those, you know, like,
yeah,
the bumps and stuff along the way are so similar. So I know I just took this off on a tangent, but just to bring it down, like, yes, magical being, everyone is going to go to the show notes right now and go follow her on social media, see everything she's, I mean, she's literally been on the Dr. Oz show. Like, you have so many accolades.
I do. The accolades in that moment didn't come from the most healthiest place. So that is also what kind of prompted me to shift the way that I was doing business, because my accolades came from me pouring myself so much into my business, because my home life, my relationship, it was all not feeding me. It wasn't fulfilling. And so I found myself pouring more into the space where I felt like I was getting a return on my investment.
Yeah.
You know,
I'm still doing that. Is that considered bad?
No, not at all. I think that it's not bad unless there is something that you desire and you're avoiding work, then we got to talk about that.
Yeah.
Because if you desire to have a relationship, the relationship of your dreams, if you desire to have a family, even if it's a blended family, because I feel like that's the trajectory that I am on, you know, you have to be willing to dive into some very sticky places. It doesn't always feel good, but I think the power of it is that when you can understand what has been controlling you all along and the driver of your actions, you unlock a level of freedom that most people don't experience in their lifetime. And that is what happened for me. I went into all of those dark, shadowy places. I had to tell myself, you know, you've been super programmed by the church. And so you have all of these spiritual gifts and you don't want to use them. You don't want to call yourself a psychic. You don't want to call yourself a shaman because those things were frowned upon. You don't want to use tarot cards. You don't want to do all of these things that, you know, late at night you are sitting up in your bed,
yeah,
playing with these items and these tools, and they make you so excited and so happy. So it felt like I had to, for a very long time, compartmentalize different pieces of myself because of how deeply programmed I was and indoctrinated just by culture, religion, school, all of these things that tell you this is who you're supposed to be. And if you're not this, it's bad or wrong. And so the undoing of that has been such a beautiful journey and has led me to here. And I could not be more happy and fulfilled.
It's like you jumped out of, like, the achievement matrix and now you're in the, like, peace matrix. And I feel like that's a shift that, at least as women, I feel like, and hopefully as society, we're, like, going through. Like, when you were talking before, I was like, have you started homeschooling your kids yet? Because I feel like that's my next level.
That's my next thought, because just understanding myself from the space of neurodivergence, I see where my kids are exhibiting certain gifts and ways of being. Homeschooling has been on my radar. I just see where my kids, they have the same giftings that I do. They are such free thinkers. I have raised them in a way to have a mind of their own and to have their own opinion. And, you know, the school system does not support that. They don't look into the crux of the child. They always want to just label things as not living up to their potential, as opposed to maybe they learn a different way. Maybe they have a different learning style. Maybe they need to listen to music while they are doing their work. They don't facilitate that. Like, I literally wrote a post on a social the other day where I bought myself gel pens, and I recognized that I hadn't used gel pens in over, like, 20 years because when I would use them to write in school, because it helped me to take notes and to be able to like process the information better, I'd always be told blue or black ink, blue or black ink. And I'm like, these are my notes. You don't get to tell me what the fuck to do with my notes. Like, so yeah, I bought myself a big old pack of gel pens because I was like, I'm an adult now and I get to do whatever the hell that I want. Yeah. And I can buy the gel pens. I can buy 162 of them and nobody can tell me how or what I can or cannot do, especially if it helps me and it doesn't bring any harm to anybody. I don't see the problem.
I agree. And I think one of the push, I have a very similar mentality. Like I have always challenged rules. I have never been able to accept them. Like I grew up and I was only ever in Catholic school. I got in trouble so many times. I just didn't understand rules for the sake of rules. Now I understand in like a global thing, there has to be some, you know, order. I'm not a lunatic. I don't want to live in a society that's like completely disordered.
I might be a lunatic.
But sometimes I always questioned things that didn't make sense. And I do it now to this day. Yep. Not in terms of like, I'm not some defiant person, like questioning authority all the time, but if something doesn't make sense or doesn't create the best outcome for me or the kids, it's like, why are we doing it this way?
That's
this is what got me pushed out of public education too. Cause I'd be like, this doesn't make sense. None of these kids are learning. And one of my friends reflected to me the other day, she was like, why did you think you would be happy with public schools when you worked in them for a decade and was completely miserable and
That's
thought
so
nothing
true.
Made sense and nothing has changed.
Nothing has changed. And I'm just like, I don't understand increasing funding and we're not increasing the amount of trainings for the teachers. We're not teaching them about different learning styles. We're not teaching them about neurodivergent children versus neurotypical. We're not teaching any of the things that really matter. School also really does not provide a balance that I feel is conducive to what I'm trying to instill in my children. Because again, you can be an A student, but if you're an asshole, as my child, I'm gonna get back.
I have
in the
a way
front.
Bigger problem. I mean, grades, I'm like, whatever. C's are great to me. I don't even go crazy for an A. I'm like, great for a C. Let's keep it moving. I'm like, it is what it is. I feel like when I actually have this spaciousness to talk to my kids and learn what they're interested in, because like if you looked at their report cards alone, you'd be like, she's raising some. But they're so smart. They're just, and when you say like neurotypical, I actually don't think that because of the age of information that we're in and the level of exposure our kids have to different things, and I'm not even talking about negative things. I'm just talking about like we didn't leave our hometown when we were younger, except, you know, people are traveling more. They have access to more through the internet and not just through social media, but literally through Google and through different resources. And it's like, I don't think anyone could be neurotypical. We know too much. So like, what is typical?
Yeah, I think for me, I just always needed something to compare and contrast what the institutions were doing.
Yeah.
Because I truly believe everyone has a level of neurodivergence too. If you have, all of us have masculine and feminine energy. Feminine is that more psychic intuition, you know, creative. That's all neurodivergent. So I fully believe that everybody has a level of it. What I think is that the institutions have created things for neurotypical people that don't exist. But if you lean more towards a certain side, you can be successful off of just memorizing knowledge and being able to test take. Now, do I feel like that is the marker of intellect? Absolutely not. Every single thing that I have learned in this life, I have self-taught or it is experiential based. I never went to school for psychology. Yeah. But what I know is there is no better psychologist than me. Like the results speak for themselves. And when I look at other people that are in the same field, therapists, their clients are not getting the same results. So for me, it's like, you went to school, you learned all of that, you took the test, you have the credentialing, but your clients don't have the results. I don't know how that makes sense. And I can't make it make sense to my mind. I can't.
If you think about it, all of that, I mean, I definitely believe in education and just not necessarily it being traditional. It depends what you want to do. Obviously, there's space to learn. Like and even, you know, when I talk about college, I'm like, I don't care. It depends what my kid wants to do. Like there may be classes that based on the vision they have for their life that need to be taught by a professor and not by me.
Yeah, same.
To pass that on. But my point is like, I think that it's a lot of based in fear, right? And like this rules and regulations that were designed to keep order or to keep record or to say that we checked a box off, but it doesn't actually produce a high quality result. And that was my biggest breakdown in public education. Like, I understood why the powers that be created a teacher performance pay scale, because to them it's like, well, if the teacher is doing her job, the students will succeed. But that didn't take into any account what the home life that the child was going home to, or their social emotional status. We're talking a lot about like neurodivergent, and it's also like the emotional needs of children has drastically changed due to a million reasons: the breakdown of the family system, the age of technology, the internet. I mean, there's so many things.
Yeah.
That it's like we have to redo everything.
Yeah.
And I feel like I'm just having a moment. This is what you did on for yourself on a personal level. And I feel like now this is also what you do with your clients.
100%. That's all that I'm doing is going in and I am unfucking their mind from these systems, from the rules and the regulations, moving them out of survival adaptations. Because I think what we, what people have taught, even business coaches and coaches of, you know, strategy, just plain strategy, they teach is that you just need a different strategy. And I'm like, no, the strategy is healing these things that are preventing you from being in your most divine God level self. Because at that space and in that place of you being in your divinity, infinite solutions appear, right? In you being in your divinity, you understand your identity. And in understanding your identity, you can say yes to what fits and no to what doesn't fit. If you don't have clarity on your identity, and not from a, I'm Jamaican, I'm from here, not that level identity, your divinity, who you are on a soul level. If you don't have clarity on that, you say yes to everything.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so, yeah, this is what I teach them. I teach them how to unlock these deeper levels within themselves, because when they do, you don't need these rules and regulations. You don't need all of these programs. You're not buying 27,000 things. Because I have done this work on myself, I am very intentional about what type of information I intake. I will study psychology, but in a very specific way. I will study counseling, you know, got trauma certified, trauma informed certified. Those things were important to me, but it's because I know the path. I know my calling. I know where I'm going. When you don't know that, you're doing everything. You're freaking throwing spaghetti at the wall and hoping that it'll stick.
I feel like
that's never a good strategy.
It's like a phase though, too, I would say, of the development of an entrepreneur.
Yeah.
And I'm not sure. So like, if this is you, and you can push back on me too on this one, but I feel like it's a developmental stage of becoming. Like, it's trying, like, I don't think that I would have known what I would, like, where I really excelled. And I still think that that's uncovering itself or revealing itself the more and more I learn. But I do feel like a lot of that takes, like, getting interested in something, then being like, this isn't for me. Like, it does take a little bit of like throwing spaghetti at the wall to even have the path begin to reveal itself.
So here's where I'm going to push back. I don't think that it's that we're not trying things. I think that with a clear mind and a clear heart, you're more intentional about what you try.
Yeah.
Right. Whereas when you have all of this head noise, you have all of this programming, you have all of this patterning, you're trying things based off of what was taught to you. You're trying things based off of what your subconscious mind is telling you. If your subconscious mind is saying that you're not worthy, and now you're on your 57th course, that's not you being curious, your most curious childlike
self.
My
God, you're right. You're right. You're
right. Yeah. So that's the shift that I would put there, is that there is more intentionality in terms of what you try, the paths that you go down, the people that you connect with. There's intentionality because at a soul level, you kind of understand your beingness, right? Yeah. So we understand that we're here to be curious and try a bunch of different things. But once I started doing this work, it wasn't, I need to try this and I need to try that and I need to try that. It was, no, honey, you need to hone in on these spiritual gifts. This is the money maker.
So if I'm listening to this, I feel like I have been coming out of like a multi-year dark season of my life. It's been like a lot of different things, from past life regressions to regular therapy to EMDR to, you know, coaching, of course, and then like just different spiritual tools and different types of sessions that I've had, a lot of visits with my psychic that I've had for years. And like, so there's no real method to my madness there. Like, it's just, it's more like I feel it and I know when things are not right. My body shows me when things are not right. Like the amount of sicknesses I dealt with in the last 2 years, yes. Like just weird symptoms, weird symptoms that I'm like, what is, and then I'd be like, oh, you know, society says it's just because you're getting older. It's just stress. Yeah. I'm like, absolutely the fuck not.
No, it's not.
No. And I'm not even that old. I think I've unaged 5 years by having a good year of stress.
Yeah. 100%. Before it. Yeah.
So I'm going off on another tangent. Where were we saying?
It's okay. You were asking me how did I get on?
Start. That's what I feel like, because I'm in this world where it's like easily accessible to a degree.
Yeah.
If I was just a normal person or even just getting started dabbling, and like most people who are here because they are starting a coaching business or thinking about it. And like, obviously, please still think about it, because I do think it's one of the fastest ways to get to a little bit jump out of the normal society cycle.
Mm-hmm.
Like, what does someone do? Like, what is a practice that any person can start today to start uncovering their own truth?
So for me, it is about intentional stillness and intentional isolation, right? Not avoidance, mm-hmm. isolation, but isolation with intention to discover self more, right? When we can do those things and actually be still, because if we look at it, really, there was a point in time when I started this, I couldn't be by myself. I had to have somebody with me. I had to have a friend in my house. I had to, you know, and so I would take on projects. It was never that I wanted to be alone with myself. And the truth was, I didn't want to be alone with myself because I was scared what I would uncover. Right. And so if I have these distractions, then I won't have to actually deal with the truth of what is. And so just for someone that may not have the funds to like seek out someone like me, that a shaman, a psychic, or other psychics or healers, right? I would absolutely say stillness, intentional isolation, and journaling. I know that not everybody is a writer, but I do feel like journaling can be multifold. You can, you know, video journal on your phone. You can do audio journaling. You can write things down as they come. The reason why I'm such a big advocate of writing is because I do know just from studying, there is a connection between you writing with your hand and the subconscious mind. And so a lot of things will come through when you're just free writing, you know, in a journal, that are coming from the subconscious mind, which is the place that we want to hit, because that's where the magic is.
Yeah.
That's where the money is. It's in the subconscious mind. The subconscious mind controls 95% of your actions. So that means only 5% of what you do is coming from a conscious, I thought about this and I said that I'm going to do this level. Most people don't know that, right? And so when we can honor the truth of what is, a lot of what I'm doing is not because I actually want to do. It's because of what I've been taught to do. It's because of things that in my childhood I have created as a truth, whether it's that I saw my mom be a martyr. And so now in my mind, I feel like I have to work all the days of my life and I can't rest because rest is, you know, unproductive. There are things that we create a truth around, our subconscious. Anything that connects to a strong emotion is going to create what I call like a mindset mixtape. It's going to create this thing that keeps playing in your mind. And that's the thing that controls your actions. And so if you can get still, if you can intentionally isolate, you can begin to hear some of those things that are controlling you, because guess what? They're going to be the things that say you're not worthy to rest right now. You need to get up and clean the house. You need to get up and do something, right? And so that is a great starting point to seeing what mixtape is controlling your current actions and what it is that you're doing in real time.
I think every woman on the planet needed to hear that, myself included. Like, I really feel like when you're, I don't know that this year of isolation for me was necessarily planned, although it became very intentional to the point of like moving across the country to be even more just isolated from the distractions that I'd been facing for the last decade, whether they were people, places, or things that just existed in my old space. I had to like, and I know the saying, like, wherever you go, there you are. I don't think you can just keep moving cities to move from your problems necessarily, but I do think that sometimes getting out of the environment that has caused you so much pain and getting away from the everyday distractions, like a huge family for me. I love them. I would do anything for them, but being needed constantly was not conducive to me getting out of this loop that I had found myself in for the last 10 years.
Yeah.
And I do think that everything you said, like that, what did you say? Mindset mixtape? I will never forget.
That's what it is. It creates this mixtape. Because you know when we listen to a song and it just keeps playing over and over in our head, it gets stuck in our head. That's what happens.
I never saw my mom watch a show. I realized this a couple months ago. I never, ever once saw her lay down. And like, I will lay down in my bed now. I will have my like heating. I will be set up. My kids will say, I'm sorry to disturb you, mommy. I know you're resting. I've never had the chance to say that to my mother. I never once saw her rest. And what I was struggling with my entire life is this hamster wheel. Keep doing, keep doing, keep doing. Like, I feel so much immense guilt for laying down and, you know, reading a book or watching a show or, you know, whatever it is. But now I feel like it's been a path. It's been, and I don't think I'm like, part of me is like, but you're not working as hard. And I'm like, I don't have to.
You don't have to. And I think what people miss too, which is the truth, is that when we look at the wheel of consciousness, right? Scarcity is what will push us into overdoing. So even if you think that you're financially well off, but you're forever working, the whole point of making a certain amount of money is to have a certain level of time freedom. It's just, it's to be able to take those naps in the afternoon. It's to be able to go to Starbucks or Dunkin' or whatever floats your banana boat or Panera and just have a time. It's to be able to go take a walk, to go to a park. So if you're not having that freedom of time and enjoying your life, you are not wealthy. And I think that people forget that, right? So when you look at the wheel of consciousness, you constantly moving says to God, the universe, source, Buddha, whatever the hell you believe in, I don't care. It's all the same damn thing. I believe it's energy, right? Collective consciousness, God, right? If you keep moving, that is telling this higher being, this higher power, I don't trust you. I don't trust you to provide for me. I don't trust that I'm here on assignment and that I'm destined for something great. I don't believe that I have a specific calling. Because if I keep running after something, that means I don't believe that I can actually attain it. I'm running towards it. If I believe that I could attain it, I say this to people all the time. I ain't never heard of Jesus running anywhere in the Bible. And I grew up Pentecostal. You understand what I'm saying? He was out here killing it, doing miracles, healing people. He never ran to anybody and said, oh my God, let me heal you. He walked in his divinity and his authority, and people were drawn to him. Things were magnetized to him. Yeah. Things were attracted to him because of his beingness. Yeah. And so I think that when we can honor that, if we step into our beingness, which is that inner work that most of us are hiding from doing, it's the, I don't want to go to a shaman because what is she going to tell me? I don't want to go to the psychic psychologist because then she's going to tell me I messed up. No, we're all messed up.
Yeah.
What's keeping us messed up is not being vulnerable and honoring that if we simply go to the right people, the right spaces, utilize the right tools, we can have every single thing that we desire. That's the scary part. And it's not going to take all of this planning. It's not going to take the 27 notebooks that you have sitting down with all the notes in it. It's not going to take all of that. All of that is survival adaptation to make you feel good and make you feel like you're doing something, when the truth of the matter is the work that you're supposed to be doing requires you to go rest because you haven't seen the women in your bloodline rest in 27 years, right? In 27 iterations. That's the deeper work. The deeper work is recognizing, oh my gosh, we haven't had a solid father figure in over 5 generations. They've been outside or they've been killed early. That is the work, right? And so when I'm sharing with people, come in, because this is not just about financial legacy. This is about the legacy of your life, of the generations, of the children to come after. What are they going to experience through you mentally, physically, emotionally, spiritually? Are they going to be free or are they going to be bound? That is the work here, because again, a lot of us are very financially rich and we are mentally, spiritually, and physically poor. Our health is poor. Our mindset is poor. Our spirits are decrepit.
Yeah.
We don't even know how to locate a soulmate. We don't know how to smile anymore and be in aspects of pleasure. We don't know how to feel good. We don't know how to tap into that deeper wealth of emotions. Emotions are a superpower. They're a GPS. And most of us are so disconnected, we can't even tap into that anymore. And what I'm here to say to people is, this is the work. Your emotions are the fastest way to get to what you desire to manifest. And I will continue to say it till the day that I die. So we have to do this work, because this work leads to exactly what you want, whatever you want. And even the things that you don't know that you want are on the other side of this work, which is why it's so powerful.
Yeah. Oh my God. So good. So, I mean, I have to first just thank you for sharing your wealth of knowledge and experience with everyone. I feel like this really, I mean, on this podcast, we talk so much about strategy. And we talk so much about like the how of coaching and business, which I do think you need to know how to do some things, but I don't think any of it is going to create the outcome that people want if they don't know who they are and what their real purpose is. And what is really driving them. If that's never clear, then you're going to just keep in the hustle cycle forever without the payout.
Yeah, financially, you're never going to enjoy it. You're never going to enjoy it. You'll have the money. You'll have the people around you because they see that you have the money. You might get the success and the, you know, the shows and the things. But on a deep soul level, that fulfillment that I'm telling you, that's the 1%. Yeah. That is the 1%. That fulfillment, that deep joy, that I don't need anybody to be good. I'm in such a season of my life that I am good all by myself. Yeah. If it's just me and my kids, I'm straight. And that's when I knew that I had healed, was when my prayer was, whatever is next in this season, it doesn't matter if I'm single, it doesn't matter if you're calling me to be a nun, it doesn't matter if you are calling me to start a monastery, whatever it is, God, I am open to what you have for me. And I'm good. I can put down this coaching, my coaching practice for a few years. I cannot worry about, oh, I have to make this certain amount of money every year. When I was able to surrender because I knew beyond the shadow of a doubt that God was calling me to something higher and that I had processed some things that were holding me back and I was ready for what was next. Oh, my Lord. It is a feeling I can't describe. And I'm just still in awe to this day of just how deeply loved and secure and safe I feel beyond a dollar amount, beyond a relationship, beyond a career path, beyond a connection, family or otherwise. Yeah. I am good. Yeah. And there's nothing like it.
Wow. That's a testimony.
Hey, hallelujah. Y'all know I'm from the Pentecostal church. Hey.
I love it. Thank you so much for being, where can everyone find you? Because I feel like everyone needs to be detailed.
It is That Psychic Psychologist on all things social media. I'm mainly active on Facebook and Instagram. I will be tapping into TikTok. I feel like it's calling my name in this season. Yeah. So but I just needed to get the pieces of the puzzle straightened out and squared away first, because as I said, I'm very intentional. I'm not just here to post to get likes because I'm cute. Like, I know I'm cute, but on the other side of that, I really want to be putting out good life-changing shit. And so if I have to go silent for a little bit, I'm okay with going silent and taking my breaks and talking to God and saying what's next in the season and then moving forward. So yeah, That Psychic Psychologist.
Awesome. Well, everyone go follow along, go get all of your dose of the mindset work so you can take off your mindset mixtape that's ruining your life. Yeah. I really, really will always think about it. That's such a fun way too, to kind of like mess with your brain a little, because no matter what, however much work you do, I feel like as a human having a human experience, you're still going to get that one line that's like, and then be like, oh, that's the wrong mixtape.
That's the mixtape. And that awareness is the power, because I can hear something and be like, that's not me.
Yeah.
That's not me. And I know exactly where it comes from. So I don't have to listen to that.
Oh my God. So good. Beautiful. Thank you so much for being here.
Thank you for having me. It's been a pleasure.